Hello, this is the spoken tutorial for Romance in A-flat by Tyler White as part of the All-State Auditions for Nebraska on flute. Before we start, make sure that you do have the music in front of you and make sure that you have a pencil handy. And also on your music, make sure that the measure numbers, which appear on the left-hand side of each musical line, make sure that you can read those, that they're legible to you, as I'll refer to them throughout the tutorial. I've decided to focus just on five things that I thought might be helpful for you as you're preparing this romance. The first thing I think is crucial, and that is to mark your breaths. My private students know what a total stickler I am about marking breaths, not only because it lets you know when you're going to get air into your body, but also where you put the breaths can help shape the phrases. And so in creating your own musical presentation of this, it's important that you put some thought into where those breath pauses are going to be. For instance, in my own performance, I opted not to get a breath in the second measure, but rather I delay it until the downbeat of measure four. And the reason for that is I wanted to really create a sense of reaching and expanding in that first long line. And then as the phrase peaks and then descends, in measures five and six, I get a breath after each dotted quarter note in measure five and measure six. And that's not because I was running out of breath. That's a musical choice to give it a little bit more hesitation, a little bit more pause as the phrase kind of descends and diminishes. But then in measure seven, where you might expect me to continue the same pattern and breathe after the G flat, I decided not to, but rather show that the phrase then is kind of turning a different direction there at the piano. That's my musical instinct. That's my musical choice. You just need to think about what works for you and what you're trying to say with these phrases and get the breaths in places that help structure the phrases the way you want them to be. I think it's important, too, to mark them in, sometimes even obvious breaths, because when you're nervous, our breath pattern changes, the heartbeat accelerates, and I find it to be very calming and very grounding to see where I'm going to get my breaths. It's just one more thing that keeps me tethered when I'm nervous in an audition situation. So number two is to really go even beyond the page for dynamics. That's the next thing I think is very important in this. Just scanning the page, look at all the different dynamics. You've got pianissimo all the way through to fortissimo. When you're auditioning, and particularly if you were to record this, the dynamics really get cut in about half. So you may feel like you're playing piano, but it's not coming out piano, or you may feel like you're playing fortissimo, but it's not really the fullest sound. So exaggerate everything on the page and really spend some time recording yourself. There's all sorts of tools available to you that you can do this online, apps on the phone, anything. I'm sure many of your band directors have recording equipment. Listen to yourself and make sure that the dynamics are shaped in the way that present you at your best. And in a couple cases, you'll need to decide some dynamics where there aren't any. In particular, I'm talking about measures 14, 15, and 16. There's a figure that comes up three times, low D-flat, low E-flat into E, and then again low D-flat, low E-flat into the triplet in measure 16, and then a third time in the end of measure 16, low D-flat, low E-flat into C. If you played all three of those at exactly the same dynamic marking, that might be a little bit boring. It might not present you at your most mature musical voice. So what I would suggest there is something like when I play the first phrase that begins in measure end of measure 14, I play that warmly and a little bit more than piano, maybe like a mezzo piano, but with a little bit more dynamic than what's marked. Then the second time that it happens, at the end of measure 15, I color that differently. I have it be softer, sort of an echo. And then the third iteration at the end of measure 16, where there is a crescendo marked there, I really let that crescendo warm pretty quickly. And that way, each of those three statements has a different character and a different color. The same thing happens at the very end of the romance, the last two lines. In fact, it's a very similar musical phrase there in measure 27, 28, 29. Put some thought into how you can structure the dynamics so that that is not boring. That's a particularly important place there at the end, because that's the last impression that you leave with your listener there, the very last two lines. So put some thought into what that's going to look like musically. The third tip that I hope is helpful in the romance is kind of a mature musical concept, and that is one of the overall pace or the heartbeat. This is a very subtle thing that I'm talking about. It can be overdone, so be careful. But when the music is getting exciting, when the dynamics are increasing, when the range is increasing, musically, it also needs to have the overall pace or the tapping of the toe or your internal metronome, whatever works for you, that also needs to be accelerating just a little bit as the excitement builds. And conversely, when things are relaxing and we've already hit the peak of the phrase and you're diminuendoing, then the heartbeat or the tapping of the toe can slow just a little bit. Again, this is something you'll want to record and go back and listen to make sure that you're not exaggerating it. But done well, that can be a very musical detail that you can add to your performance of this, is that overall pacing. So you might give some thought to that. The fourth thing that I think is important is a very simple concept, and that is after the big peak. This is the peak of the whole romance at the end of measure 22 into 23, before going on to that lower B flat in piano, let there be a little bit of acoustical space, a little bit of a lift, a pause. You need to kind of let that high B flat really ring in the air before going on to the piano phrase that follows. To jump into that piano too quickly it would feel too rushed. So let there be a little acoustical space there after the downbeat of 23. And finally, the tip number 5, which I think is as important as maybe all of these other tips combined, you must practice this with a tuner nearby. Again, you have a lot of tools available to you. There's tuners online. There's applications you can put into your phones. And I'm sure your band director has 5 or 6 tuners floating around the band room. This is really important for this romance, particularly because the pacing of it is slower than the etude number 2. Your judges are really going to be listening for good control of the pitch. You need to be in control of the pitch, not the flute. So where the flute has certain tendencies, like D-flat in the staff being really sharp, you need to temper that D-flat down, use an alternative fingering that adds 2 or 3 fingers in the right hand will also help bring that D-flat down. Similarly, some of the really high and loud moments in the flute, with very little exception, the high register tends to be really, really sharp. So you want to really open up your throat, open up your jaw, do everything you can to keep the pitch on those high notes down, because that is definitely something that your judges are going to be listening for. Well, I hope these 5 tips have been helpful for you as you prepare this romance in A-flat. If I can be a further help to you, don't hesitate to contact me. My email is flute@mariaharding.com. That's the same email address that appears on my website if you push the Contact Me button. I hope that you have great success with this, and I hope that you learn a lot through the process of preparing romance. Good luck!